All right, how many of you guys got exams tomorrow? Nobody. Everyone who has exams tomorrow is not here. Oh, there's one right there. And a debate, right? All right. She's a trooper. Awesomeness. Okay, so before we get started on our brand new series called Jesus is Better, we have an awesome video. So can we cue that up and let her fly?
I've got 5 minutes to convince you of one thing. Altogether, it's 13 letters, 3 words, and 1 complete sentence. And I hope you never forget. In fact, I hope it haunts you. I hope you always remember these 13 letters, these 3 words, and this 1 complete sentence.
awesome? That's a really cool video. When I first saw it, I was just like, that's it? That's what I've been trying to put it all into words. So, that, I mean, that guy did it way better than I did. I could. And he did it to music, which I can't do. So, but that's what we want to talk about. What this video, we'll probably show it a few times over the next few months. But this video just really captures kind of the heart of the book of Hebrews. And we're going to be in the book of Hebrews. I don't know if you know anything about the book of Hebrews. How many of you guys have even read the book of Hebrews? All right, so this is going to be new territory. Awesomeness. The whole book is wrapped up in what we just heard. Those 13 letters. The one sentence. That Jesus is better. And the entire book was written actually for that purpose. The book was written to help people understand who were kind of waffling, weren't sure that Jesus is better. That following Jesus was better than any other option that the world has to offer. And specifically for this book to the Hebrews, that it was better than Judaism. Now, but the application is way bigger than that. And I think the message of this book is a message that we all need to hear. It's a message that's for us today. Because it's to the world. It's to, like, what is the world going to offer you that's better than Jesus? Because here's the thing. I think every day, you feel at some point that there's something better than Jesus out there. Seriously, we do. I do, anyway. No, Jesus is better. Are you going to hear that a lot these next 3 months? Because we're going to talk about Jesus being better all the time. In fact, you're going to be like, I'm tired of that phrase. I hope you are saying that. No, I hope you don't say that. I hope he's like, yes, Jesus is better. No? All right, okay. You guys have to be convinced yet because we haven't read the book, right? So the message of Hebrews is perfect for people who are wandering or wondering whether their faith is better than other faiths. And I don't like using the word better than other faiths. And yet at the same time, it's kind of what Hebrews is talking about. It's like, guys, following Jesus is better. It's better than following Muhammad. It's better than following Buddha. It's better than following Gandhi. It's better than following anything else. Following Jesus is better. And I think in our society today, we hear it all the time, right? But we feel like that's kind of an arrogant statement sometimes. We can't tell people that. They're offended. And, you know, for some of them, yeah, I guess. I mean, if they're following Buddha, it'd be kind of offensive for you to say, well, it's better to follow Jesus, right? But that's not what I'm trying to get at, right? We can use that negatively. But the book of Hebrews is giving us it in the positive light that compared to everything else that the world has to offer, every religion, everything that appeals to us, that it's Jesus is better. But it's not just because. there's some real reasons that Jesus is better. And we're going to walk through each one of those things during the weeks that we go through the book of Hebrews. The first one we're going to walk through is that Jesus is better than the angels. And in our day, this is kind of interesting because there's lots of crazy beliefs out there about angels and where angels are like these, you know, people worship angels. Like they think that angel that will, and some people think that we'll become angels. In fact, Mormons believe we'll become angels when we die. That's not true. That's not what happens when we die. The Bible's really clear about that. But Jesus is better than the angels. And so I want you to take your Bibles and you can turn to the book of Hebrews. It is on page 727. And this is the call from the book of Hebrews. Hold on to what you've got. Isn't there a song like that? Gotta hold on to what you got. Sorry. Bon Jovi's coming out. Oh no! That's what happens when you grew up in the 80s. High school, yeah. Bon Jovi just slipped out. Yeah, you gotta hold on to what you've got. This is what Hebrews is telling. Hebrews is written to people who are Christians, and it's encouraging them. Hold on to what you have because you don't even know how awesome what you have is yet. It still hasn't kind of produced its full effect. And the message is hold on to what you got. See, here's the thing. We're bombarded by pressure and discontentment from all sides. Seriously, just think about the time of year right now. You got pressure to perform, right? Pressure on exams, got to get a good enough mark to get a good enough school so you have enough options for your future. Guys, I got to tell you, that's Solomon talks about that kind of thinking as life under the sun. King Solomon, the wisest guy who ever lived other than Jesus, wrote a book called Ecclesiastes. And in it, he talks over and over about life under the sun. One of the things that as a Christian that you get to do is you don't have to live life under the sun, meaning the sun isn't your ceiling. Jesus is. And so it gives us a different perspective that we don't have to succumb to, oh, all my options. This isn't just about you and what you can achieve. God actually has plans for you. And we forget that in the midst of exams, right? I mean, I did. Seriously, I don't fault you. I think that's why we need to go through a book like Hebrews, is because we're all in the same boat. We forget about these things. We forget that Jesus is better, that Jesus has an option for us that he wants us to pursue, and that you can't screw it up by going like, oh, I got a 73 instead of a 75. I screwed up my whole life. Sometimes that's the pressure we feel, right? When we're going to exams and we got all this pressure on us. But you need to understand that Jesus has a future for you, that Jesus has plans for you, and that it doesn't mean you don't study and go like, oh, okay, Jesus has got plans for me. I don't need to study. I can fail everything. That's not what I'm saying. Jesus also wants you to work hard. And he wants you to study hard. I think that's glorifying to God. That's doing your best is something that God appreciates. On the other hand, God isn't up in heaven going like, Samantha, you only got an 83 on that test. It's not good enough. That's not what God's like. And he's like, oh man, my plans for Samantha are screwed up because she only got 83. Some of you guys are like, what, 83? But I think that God speaks to us right where we are. And I think a lot, this is where you guys are right now, right? And I think that what we need to do, if you're a follower of Jesus, is to understand that God's got you. He's got plans for you. That yeah, there's going to be some stress in coming into things like exams. But Jesus has got you. He's got a better future for you. He's a better hope. That your marks are not actually going to determine the outcome of your life. Jesus is. You guys catch that? Jesus is going to determine the outcome of your life. Right? And your decision on whether to follow him or not. Those are the two main factors. And so we don't have to live, like Solomon says, under the sun, under the pressure of it's just us. We have a God who we serve, who gets to decide, because we're his, we belong to him, who gets to decide the outcome of our life. That, you guys, that is so much pressure off. Like, seriously. If you could, and this, again, this is why we're in Hebrews. Hebrews is pushing this really hard. And it's not just for school, it's our leaders too, right? Myself, like, the pressure we put ourselves under for different things. God has plans for us. Jesus is better than all of these things. And what he really wants you to do is to pursue him, to chase after him, to make him your life. To go like, yeah, I want to bring glory to God. And whatever that takes, I'm going to do it. Sometimes it might be some of the areas that I really, really love, it might cost you a little bit. Like that video said, it might cost you something. Because you can't follow wholeheartedly Jesus and it not cost you something. It has to cost you something. But it's good. And in the end, you're going to say it's worth it. All right, so let's jump into the book here. Chapter 1. One thing about Hebrews. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. It's the only book of the Bible we don't know the author to. He or she, whoever wrote it, doesn't ever say who they are. And so it kind of reads like a letter, not at the start. It reads more like a, it doesn't seem like a letter. But at the end, there's like greetings and stuff. So he's like, oh, it is a letter. So it's interesting. It's the only book in the Bible that we don't at least have a clue who the author is. There's some other ones like Job where we have to guess, but this one we have no clue. We don't know who wrote it. Some people think maybe Paul did, but nobody took credit for it. So it's very interesting because The reason it's in the Bible is because it's kind of like a sum up. It sums up a lot of Paul's writing, which is some people think Paul might have wrote it, or someone close to Paul might have wrote it. It sums up a lot of his stuff. And because the message of Hebrews is clearly the message of the Bible, that Jesus is better. That is the whole message of this whole thing. That Jesus is the one that can save you. That Jesus is what you need in your life. All these other things are secondary, thirdary, whatever, if that's a word, down the line. Jesus is what you need in your life. All right. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. So we know from the Bible, we have this history, we have prophets, we have the Bible itself, right? We have all sorts of good things from the past that we know of. God communicated in many, many ways, in many different, through visions, through audible voice, through a donkey. I don't know if you guys know about that story of a guy named Balaam. God actually made his donkey talk. Now that would be freaky. Yeah, he's like, yeah, you know where that's coming from. Yeah. We can use other language for that. But anyway, yeah, God can speak any way he wants. That's how awesome our God is. He speaks any way he wants. He chooses any way he wants to communicate to us. And so he's done it through so many ways. And here's verse 2. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. So he's done all of this stuff. And then in these last days, this final time that we're in, it's like the pinnacle of God speaking to us. He spoke directly to us through his Son. Awesome. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, he created the universe. Don't miss this. What? Through Jesus, the universe was created. So for those of you who think Jesus was born 2,000 years ago and wasn't there before that, that doesn't fit. Jesus pre-existed. Jesus is God, which is one of the messages of Hebrews, and he has always been. Whew. Somebody's mind just blew. I heard it. Or maybe that was just from the test. Sorry. Studying. Okay. The Son radiates God's own glory. In one translation, it says the Son is the very imprint of God's glory. I like that one. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains, get this, he sustains everything. What does that mean? What does everything encompass? Is there anything outside of everything? No. So get this. Get everything. So he's talking universe here. He sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. A better word there is the word. By his word. That's what it means when he says by his command. It's by his word, his speech. Did you guys catch this? He holds the entire universe intact through his word. Not just the Bible. Okay, these are some of his words. But his word. That's how powerful the word of God is. That it's actually holding the universe together. That's amazing. You guys know that? Another brain just blew. I heard it. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels. Just as the name God gave him is better. Sorry, I got that word in my head. Better than their name. So he's better than the angels. He's got a better name. For God never said to any angel what he said to Jesus. This is what he said to Jesus. You are my Son. Today I have become your Father. God also said, I will be his Father and he will be my Son. And when he brought his supreme Son into the world, God said, let all of God's angels worship him. Now, should the angels worship anyone but God? Yes or no?
No.
No. So what does that make Jesus? You guys are on the ball. But to the Son, he said, regarding the angels, he said, he sends his angels like the winds, his servants like flames of fire. Yeah, that's pretty cool imagery. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, who's O God? Who is he calling O God? The Son. Who's the Son? Jesus! Right. Endures forever and ever. How long? Yeah. Awesome. You guys can read. You rule with a scepter of justice. You love justice. What does he love?
Justice.
Yeah. And what does he hate? Nice. Somebody read ahead. Or you just knew, right? Because, yeah, he hates evil. He loves justice and hates evil. Therefore, O God, your God, interesting language, right? Your God has anointed you, pouring out of the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. He also says to the Son, in the beginning, when? When was that? Yeah. You guys are so smart. You laid the foundations of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. Cool. They will perish, but you, what will perish? What's they? Who's they? The heavens and the earth. They will perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like clothing. You will fold them up like a cloak and discard them like clothing. So at some point, God is going to destroy the heavens and the earth. You guys know that? He's actually going to destroy the heavens and the earth. And then what is he going to do? You guys know? He's going to make a new one. Awesomeness. But you are always the same, and you will live forever. And God said, God never said to any of the angels. So remember, Jesus is being compared to the angels here. So no angel was ever pre-existed or went or was part of creation. Part of creating, I should say. They were part of creation. God created them. None of them had a name like Jesus' name. Jesus' name is above all the angels. So if anyone ever comes up to you and is talking about angels and talking about how awesome they are and thinking they're better than Jesus, you're like, no, Jesus is better. And this is why you can go to Hebrews chapter 1 and go like, wow, look at, this is what God said about Jesus, that he actually is God. I mean, that God never said that about the angels. That's what it says right here. And God never said to any of the angels, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. Therefore, angels are only servants. So we don't worship angels. That's why, but here's the thing, angels are awesome beings. Because every single time in the Bible when an angel appears, guess what happens? What do they say? What's the first thing? Do not be afraid. And why is that? Because angels are awesome, right? Do not be afraid. Every single time, it's like, don't be afraid. They have to say that, otherwise you're like, I'm going to die. No, don't be afraid. I'm an angel. I'm okay. Therefore, angels are only servants. Get this, with all their glory and all their awesomeness, if you guys read Isaiah chapter 6, it says that there's two seraphim, I think they're called seraphim or cherubim. I don't know, one or the other. Something ims. And their voices are so loud saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, that the gateposts shake. Angels, their voices are so powerful that, what's a huge big wall, like you guys know of? Great Wall of China. It's like the Great Wall of China would shake when they talk. Okay, that's a big voice. I'm thinking that's a pretty powerful dude, right? That's an awesome angel. Jesus is better. They're just simply saying Jesus is holy. Therefore, angels are only servants. So as awesome as they are, they're only servants. We're not to worship angels. We don't pray to angels. We don't worship them. I should maybe read this whole verse at some point. Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. You guys get this? Did you hear that? What are angels there for? To care for people and what? Or for what reason? Because those people will inherit salvation. Isn't that cool? This is what the role of the angels is. And if you look through the Bible and what the angels were doing and how they're involved, it's all involved in that way. Whether they're announcing the Christ or whether they're saving people, or it's all about this, that they're actually God's messengers to help us find salvation. Isn't that cool? But in all this, We don't worship angels. We don't follow angels. We follow Jesus. We worship Jesus only. Because Jesus is better than angels. So how does this translate today? There's lots of things. I mentioned it a little bit earlier. Here's in Islam. This is what the Muslims believe. They believe that Jesus was a prophet. He was the second prophet. Moses was the first prophet. Jesus was the second prophet. And Muhammad was the third prophet. So in Islam, they preach that Muhammad is better. That he had the final say, that he had the final word. But we know that's not true. And why? How can you be better than Jesus because Jesus was God? That's where Islam falls, is because they don't believe that Jesus is God. They believe that he was a prophet, but not God. Now, if you engage them on that, Muslims aren't allowed to argue. And so even if you point that out, they won't argue that with you, that, oh, but, you know, Jesus said he was God. Okay, this is why Islam isn't better, for lots of reasons. But number one, because Jesus is better than Muhammad. Muhammad's not better than Jesus. I mean, you just look at their lives to find that out. It's pretty easy, actually, deduction. You look at the life of Muhammad and how he lived his life and how Jesus lived his life. It's pretty obvious Jesus is better. How about Mormons? They believe that an angel of light, which we're warned against in the book of Galatians, says that even if an angel of light tells you a different gospel, it says, let him be eternally condemned. So, okay, don't do that. But the Mormons believe that an angel of light showed up and gave Joseph Smith some golden tablets? Golden something or others. But it was a new gospel. It was to fill in all the blanks. And so that's where the Mormons came from. And so they say that this angel of light corrected all the bad theology. And so they have this Book of Mormon, and they think the Book of Mormon's better than the Bible. And in the end, you know what? Jesus is better than that. Jesus is God. And again, it's who you think Jesus is will actually determine the outcome of your life. You guys catch this? This is a really important statement. If you haven't heard anything tonight, hear this. What you think of Jesus will actually determine the outcome of your life. This is how important this is. If you don't think Jesus is God, that will affect how you live your life, what you give your life to, and how your life, what happens after you die, I guess is the best way to put it. Okay? That what you think about Jesus is the most important thing you will ever think in your life. That's why we're doing the book of Hebrews. Because the book of Hebrews is there to tell you Jesus is better. Jesus is God. This is important to think this way. All right. How about all the spiritual stuff? We've got seances. We have all sorts of different spiritualism. And people are attracted to that because, oh, it's cool and there's weird things that happen. But here's the deal. Hebrews, for us, lets us know that Jesus is what? He's better. Yeah. You know what? Those spirits are there to deceive you. They want you to feel something immediately and think, oh, this is cool. Because it's a trap. They want to draw you in because they want to destroy you. Did you know that Satan's goal is not just to destroy you? Satan wants to kill you. You know that? He doesn't just want to destroy your life because he wants to do that. He wants to kill you. He wants to murder you. That is his ultimate purpose, murder. In John 10:10, it says the thief, talking about Satan, comes to steal, kill, right? Destroy. He wants to kill you. And he will use anything necessary. He will bait you in as like bait on a fish hook, right? The fish thinks the bait looks awesome. And it is awesome. That's why it takes it. But that's the bait that he gives us. It's awesome. It looks awesome. It's fun. It's awesome. But it's bait. It's meant to lure you into something because Satan wants to kill you. Okay? This is sobering thoughts. You're like, I didn't come to youth for this. But it's here, if I can spin it in a positive light, it's because Jesus is better. When we choose what the enemy has for us, it may feel good for a moment. It's all temporary. The bait is temporary, right? It doesn't last for the fish. We need to understand that's what he's doing to us. It's bait. It doesn't last. It gives you lots of joy momentarily, but then it's gone. And with it comes some baggage, right? The fish is on the hook. But Jesus doesn't, he doesn't work that way. What he's offering you is life, and a life that doesn't ever fade. It lasts forever. In fact, you realize that regardless of what you think of Jesus, 10,000 years from now, you're going to be alive? That just blow anyone else's mind? If we're going to be with Jesus, we're going to be in heaven, 10,000 years from now, 10 million years from now, you will be alive. You guys ever think about that? Yeah, there we go, another explosion, exploding mind. Awesomeness! Hebrews is helping us think like this. It's not just about today. Jesus is better because he lasts forever. Jesus is better. So here's my challenge for you guys during this series. My challenge is for you to open your mind and open your heart that Jesus just might be better than everything else on this planet. I said might. I want you, that's the opening of your mind, to think that he might be. For I know he is, and the writer of Hebrew knows he is. But I want you to start the journey with me for the next 4 months, and let's discover together how awesome Jesus is and that he's better. You guys with me in that? You want to do that? I'm excited about it. I want your friends to be excited about it. I want you guys to talk about it when you're at school. I want you to talk about it all the time. Hey, we're talking about Jesus is better. This is awesome. We are discovering some new stuff. Look at all the great stuff the world has to offer us. And Jesus is better? Are you serious? Because I want to arm you guys against doubt. Because at some point in your life, maybe it's right now, you're going like, I don't know if Jesus is better. I really don't. I'm not so sure. All this other stuff seems pretty cool. At some point in life, you will face that. And my hope is that through the book of Hebrews and through what Jesus wants to communicate to you, that when that moment comes, you'll be reassured that Jesus is better because you remember who he is. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that you gave us this great book. It's so interesting. Thank you that Jesus really is better. You don't have to fake it. You don't have to pretend that he's better. He actually is. And so, Lord, I pray for each and every student, the ones that are here and the ones that couldn't make it, that you would put in their hearts, Lord, to discover this, that they would open their minds and open their hearts just a little bit for some of them, just to open it a little bit to maybe think that Jesus is better. And I pray, Lord, that you just kick that door wide open and you would show us that you're better. Lord, I pray for each of these students during exams. I pray that they would have a different perspective going into their exams, understanding that what you have for them is better. That it's actually a lie to think that all the options are going to be gone from a certain mark because you're not limited. And you have a plan, and you created each one of these students the way they are. And so, Lord, I pray that you give them a peace that they couldn't even imagine they could have writing exams and finishing up their classes. Lord, I just pray this in the name of Jesus. Give these students some rest and peace. And Lord, last of all, help them to recall the stuff they studied. give them good minds and sharp memories. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, that's the beginning of it all. Jesus is better. That's where we're going for the rest of this semester. Craziness.